We give you glory.
We give you glory, Lord.
As we honor you.
As we honor you.
Oh, we give you glory, Jesus.
We give you glory, Lord.
As we honor you.
As we honor you.
You are,
wonderful.
You are wonderful.
You are worthy, Lord.
That one more time.
Was that we don't just pray and not expect to receive. So ask the Lord to speak to you now. Let's pray, let's pray, let's pray. Lord, speak to me. The ministration is not for nothing but for me to receive from you. Father, speak to me. Yesterday, he said, go home and the Lord will speak to you. The Lord spoke to me in my dreams last night and he told me a few things about myself and the work of God. Let us pray, let us pray. Father, we come before your throne, we ask King of Glory, that as you send your son to come and minister at this moment, that you will speak to our hearts in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, words that are quick, words that are sharp, like a two-edged sword, that will reprove of us sin, that it will reprove us, rebuke us of the things we need to do in the name of Jesus Christ. Let this moment not be in vain. We could have been doing something else, but let it not be in vain in the name of Jesus Christ. As many of us that are gathered in this place, Lord, we ask that you will speak to us in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, King of Glory, because it's a dominion weekend time where we will have experiences with our finances, where it will be better in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we just worship and bless your holy name. We give you praise and honor you. Father, your son, you are going to speak, use this evening and tomorrow. We ask that you will use him as your oracle. He will speak through you. None of his word will fall to the ground in the name of Jesus Christ. This is what we ask that you do for us, and let your name be glorified. Let us remember for good that this day, 2019, somebody came here and my life became changed. That is what we ask for in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we bless and worship you. We give you praise. We give you honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's usher in our pastor, Pastor Neha. Let's clap, let's clap, let's clap as we welcome. Please keep clapping, keep clapping, keep clapping, keep clapping, keep clapping. Amen, 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 amen. You are tired. Eh? You are tired. Hey. The man of God himself, God bless you. Thank you. See, they brought a new microphone for you.
Give me a hug, sir.
Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
It's really a privilege. It's an honor to be in your midst. I don't take it lightly at all. You have so many places you could have been. You chose to be here. And I know that there's a divine appointment tonight. Praise God. The Bible says, give honor to whom honor is due. I want to bless God for the point man. I know he just walked out, Dr. Pastor Okonofwa. And I just want to bless the first lady as well. God bless you, ma'am. And all the soldiers for Christ, the other pastor is not here, all the soldiers for Christ. I say, peace be unto all of us. Shabbat shalom. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I have a confession to make. I like to run away from finance, teaching it, but it keep on running after me. It's an area that I think I have the grace for, but I don't want to be involved in it. But everywhere I go, I find myself being invited for financial stuff. I have no clue why. But I bless the name of the Lord all the same. One of the problems in the ministry, one of the major problems is that Christians are supposed to be so blessed, but we happen to be the poorest because of lack of understanding and lack of knowledge. And if you think I'm lying, I want you to go back to church history. I want you to just take a moment and travel with me on church history and look at the Catholic Church. Most of the institutions you see today were product of the Christian heritage. Look around. All these institutions you see in America that are standing for centuries were product of the Christian heritage. But it came to our generation, something is different. Because we are not like the men of Issachar who understood the times. I want to read something for you and then I'll pray. The seven spirits of God. Somebody will say, whoa, I'm supposed to be here for finance. What has the seven spirits got to do with finance? But hey, last night, the man of God, Pastor, what is the brother's name? Samson. No wonder. Is there Samson in the Bible? He has come alive again. Praise God. Everything you see right now, everything you see, everything, anything you can touch, cannot exist except they exist in the spirit. You see the shape? It has to first of all exist in the spirit. So that's why it's important to understand the seven spirits. And I'm going to go through some stuff and you see, and then we'll come into where everybody wants to be. How to trade in the stock market, how to buy houses and all those stuff, how to make money. But you have to understand the kingdom approach. Why some people are making it and they are making it ways and you never know it. Praise God. Revelation chapter 1 verse 4. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before the throne. Revelation chapter 3 verse 1. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, this thing says he that has seven spirits of God and the seven stars. Revelation chapter 4 verse 5. And out of the throne proceeded lightning and thundering and voices, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Revelation chapter 5 verse 6, which is the focus. I want you to pay attention to Revelation chapter 5 verse 6. So far we've been seeing the seven spirit in the realms of heaven. You want something's going to happen in verse 5, chapter 5 verse 6. And behold, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders, he's talking about the 24 elders that surrounds the throne, stood a lamb as it has been slain, having seven horns, seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. The seven spirit of God sent forth into all the earth. Let us pray.
Father, I adore you. I lay my life before you. Father, I adore you. Jesus Christ, I adore you. I lay my life before you. Jesus, I adore you. Holy Spirit, I adore you. I lay my life before you. Spirit, I adore you.
Father, I come into your presence with boldness so that I might obtain mercy. Mercy to preach your word. Mercy to share, Lord. I empty myself completely. I'm not even worthy. I give the Holy Spirit the power of attorney over my spirit, soul, and body this evening. I take authority over this sanctuary. I say every distracting spirit, every forces that may want to contend with the word of God today, Father, may they bow before the Lordship of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Okay, let's see how we go from here. We're not going to go through all of this. In a sense, this is part of my manuscript. It's about 120-something pages, but it's just something that the Lord has been teaching me over the years that I just decided it is time to put them down. I've been using them from year to year and updating them. But I want to share with you, it's eight chapters. I call them parts one, part two, part three. I'm going to go through the table of content. We're going to select what we're going to talk about. But I always start with part one. Part one talks about the foundation of the kingdom of God's economy. You have to understand how it works for you to enjoy it, for you to reap the benefit. A lot of us don't. And the Bible says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. It doesn't matter. The Lord said, it brings rain to the evil one and to the blessed one. If the man who is evil, who is a farmer, decide to plant, and the man who is righteous decide not to plant, is also a farmer, who is going to get harvest at the end of the day? The evil one. Because God provided rain for both of them. Something is missing from the man or the woman that is righteous, who is a farmer, who doesn't do it. It doesn't matter how many rebu kasata that you say. Probably tomorrow, we will look at the five understanding of the scripture. Because it's time for people to begin to understand. You see, the word understanding, there are five levels of blessings. If you do not have the understanding, the first level of understanding of the scripture
is purely information. You read it, it looks like a story to you. That's level one. The second level of understanding of the scripture is to make you prosper. But there are other levels. So it's important for us to begin to understand how these things work so that we are blessed the way God wants it to be. Praise the Lord. The foundation of God's economy, which is part one, so talks about the sovereignty of God. It was going to be talked about in a very different format, but you see that God's sovereignty. Then we look at the institution of laws. I know sometimes we hate laws. We're not supposed to hate laws. Law is what gives the stability in the universe. It's a blessing. And it creates order. But I also want to introduce to you the DNA of man. We're not going to spend too much time on this, but it's important because you have to understand your standing. It's like a young man who has $5 million in the bank, and he keep on complaining he's poor, he's homeless. You know, every one of us, we have so much money in the bank, but we just don't know how to get it. So that's why it's important to understand this part one. It's crucial for you to go back and begin to talk about the mechanics of investment. And a lot of people just jump into the mechanic of investment. That's why when you get the money, you fall. Because you don't have the foundation. Foundation is key. Then, after the DNA of man, we look at the authority of man and the title deed to the earth. There's a title deed. How many of you have a home here? You have a title deed. Yeah. Man has a title deed to this earth.
Oh, okay. I'll do something very quickly. I'll go back. There's something here. Is the key thing I want to also mention is called access and ownership. It's supposed to be a different bullet point. It's added to authority of man. Access and ownership. If there's anything you're going to take away from here, is to understand the principle of access and ownership. A lot of us have this mindset about ownership, and we don't have understanding of access. I'm going to share with you the dynamics of both of them and what is expected in God's kingdom. We're going to talk about who is a steward and what are the steward responsibilities. Praise the Lord. So that's basically what is in part one. Part two, I want to bring you back to understand the seasons of life. Because when you're talking about finance, finance apply in different seasons. You need to plan for different seasons. There was a time it's just me and my wife. There was a time I was single. That was a season. And before I knew it, this young lady that I did not introduce, the love of my life, she's beautiful, she's lovely. Yeah, this young lady stole my heart. And before I knew it, this bunch of kids, just because this year most of them are now taller than me, they took the pride I had. I was the tallest man in my house until these young ones came around. You have to understand the seasons of life. And when you understand the seasons of life, you know how to manage your life. Praise God. In understanding the season of life, you also have to, in part three, you need to understand the times. You need to understand the times you're living in. I told them last night, I was here during the night prayer, Tari night. Those of you did not come after this ministration, you are staying with me to do your own. You know, and especially the men were not there. I was expecting to see some of these soldiers for Christ. They didn't show up. The ladies were well represented. So
one of you're going to retake this assignment after this. You stay with me, and we're going to do our own. Praise God. Is anybody angry with me? I love you guys.
Yeah, you have to understand the times. It's not just enough to just walk around. Opportunities are just passing you around. They are moving around. The example I gave last night was I when I was in college in Nigeria, I had a friend of mine. His name is Kennedy Okosun. Kennedy is from a poor background. At least I'm from a poor background. His background was even poorer. After a little while, what happened to Kennedy? Kennedy started driving car in the campus. And I went to Kennedy. I said, Kennedy, please come. I know your parents are poor, just like mine. Where did you get the money from? How come you are driving cars? The boy laughed at me. I said, this is a serious matter. I'm not joking. He said, well, you see these professors, they have children. I knock at their door. I said, I organize after-school training for their children. He said, that was how I was able to start getting money. I said, my God, Father, open the eyes of my understanding. A lot of us are just walking around. Opportunities are passing us by. I was telling somebody, even yesterday too, how many of you have taken Uber? How many of you have taken Lyft? This last Thursday, Lyft was listed in the stock market at a price of $72. If you have 1 million shares, you've become a multimillionaire already. But the concept is so simple. The idea is so simple. How come you and I did not get it? What happened to us? Because we fight each other. Because we think the manna will come again. That's not how God works in this dispensation. Because those who started Lyft, they are done. They can employ all of us, and we'll be saying, yes, sir. Even those people who are employing us right now, they are not even at that level. Do you know, there's opportunity every day. Praise the Lord. Okay. Part 4, which is supposed to be chapter 4 when it's finally done, you know thyself. You need to know who you are. You need to know your strength. You need to know your weakness. Paul knew his strength and weakness, and he had a thorn in his flesh, and he prayed 3 times. He said, Lord, take away this thorn. God said, no, I'm not taking it away. It's there for a purpose. He said, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. He understood his weakness. He wanted God to give him strength so that the weakness does not cause him to fail in life. You need to know who you are in many different dimensions. Because if you're talking about finance, you've got to know who you are. Praise the Lord. Then part 5, which will eventually be chapter 5, is called the wisdom of the ages. What is wisdom? I started with the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 5, verse 6, when I talk about the seven spirit of God coming into the earth. One of the seven spirit of God is the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Talk about Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 to 19. You have to have this understanding to walk majestically on earth. Praise the Lord. Of course, in the house of wisdom, there is 7 pillars. And Samson, God bless you. Holy Spirit gave you this thing to read yesterday. You stole all those things. You plagiarized. It's not fair. But then he was just pouring out yesterday. He talked about, even as a man thinketh. Our pastor taught you, by wisdom a house is built, with understanding it established, with knowledge the rooms are filled. There's what they call the law of first principle.
Let's just move on. I just want to break this down, then we'll start and pick the one we want to use. We can't do all this tonight, but I would do part one. And I know everybody's interested in probably part six and part seven. Those are the areas I'm going to focus on. I'm not going to focus on the other part, but the foundation of everything in finance is part one to part five. If you have those things, these other ones will be easy. Praise God. Actually, part six and part seven, you can employ people to do it for you. Instead of doing it yourself, you can ask people, employ them to do this part six and part seven for you. But part one, part two, part three, part four, part five, nobody can do it for you. It's the basis on which you can receive from heaven. So part six is really talking about what everybody is here for. This is why we're here. Most of the time, this is the things. And I had asked that you bring your computer. But if you don't, that's fine. Because I like people hands-on. I want you to go in there. We're going to look at things together. Then we'll look at the mechanics of money and finance, what it's all about. And then the last part eight, by the grace of God, chapter 8, is here the conclusion of the matter. We begin from the realm of the Spirit. We will end from in the realm of the Spirit. Praise God. So let's go quickly. Please, if I'm breaking the time, tell me. I will rush it. All right, I'll rush it. Okay. The sovereignty of God. If there's anything that we have been taught so well in all our churches, is that God is supreme. I don't need to go into details and begin to give you theological explanation of the supremacy of God. Time will not permit. I study astronomy, not astrology. Astronomy is the science of the universe. Astronomy is the science of the universe. The universe is divided into two, knowable universe and unknowable universe. I just want you to have an idea how big, how expanse the universe is. This is the God that created it. And in Genesis chapter, we say, let us, in other words, God exists outside of time. God gave birth to time. We, all of us, are in a time capsule. So that's how powerful God is. He's not confined to time. Now, what was written in Genesis chapter 1? Everything that is happening today was completed in Genesis chapter 1. Praise God. So I'm leaving that there because of time. But if you only have questions, I would love to share more on the sovereignty of God. But you must have that at the back of your mind. The second one, the institutions of law. This is the most profound, one of the profound principles in the kingdom of God. The best way I can explain it is to live in this earth that we live in, is based on the law of gravity, correct? If I want to live by flying, I cannot. Except I obey the law of aerodynamics. That's why when the plane takes off, on the basis of the law of gravity, it must go and obey the law of aerodynamics. The moment it tries to disobey it, it's coming down. God uses law to maintain order. And if you know how to walk within the law, you can fly like the plane. You must understand how the system works. If you don't understand the system works, you cannot make profit from it. If you don't understand how the system works, you will get a police ticket.
If you don't understand, you'll be in jail. You must understand the law of how things work in order for you to prosper in them. Is somebody with me? Praise the Lord. I'm building something up. Let's talk about the DNA of man. This is very profound. God spoke to the water, and fish was created. Do you believe me? I put that there in case you have question about it. God spoke into water, and living thing came out of water. You know what the next thing God did? God spoke into the land. He spoke to land. Land, you land. And living creatures started walking on land. And the most profound of it all, God spoke to himself and man came out. I hope you understand the wisdom of that. Take time to study Genesis. It's there. If God spoke to fish, to the water, and then life form came out of water, if you remove fish from water, they will die. If God spoke to the land and living thing came out of it, if you remove them from the land, their habitat, they will die. If God spoke to himself, a man came forth. If you remove man from his relationship with God, he cannot prosper financially. That's Genesis for you. Is somebody with me? Any question? Praise God. The next thing I want to quickly share is the authority of man and the title deed to the earth. Now, we just finished from, I think that's three, but the numbering system, don't worry about the numbering system here. I just told you about the DNA of man. We always quote it and say, man was created in God's image. Hey, it's too. When you dig deeper, you begin to understand the meaning. But when you come to five there, it said the authority of man and the title deed. Can we put some, is this Psalm 115 verse 16? That's wrong there. Around 115. I want somebody to quickly read it for me. Verse 16. Thank you. Now watch this. It said, the heavens are the Lord's. But the earth has he given to the children of men. God gave the earth to the children of men. And that's why our pastor started today and talked about the dominion. It's awesome. God gave the whole earth to man. Wow. That's great. But what are we doing with it? Now let's go to the next one. The one that is six there says access and ownership. We often make this mistake, all of us, including myself until point. We pursue ownership of property. It's wrong. You can't prosper by that approach. It leads to misery. It leads to worry. It leads to concern. But you need access. And I'm going to explain. I will explain in the next section. Access to God. When you have access to God, if you can trust him, that's what our brother taught us last night. If you can genuinely trust him, it will reveal so many things to you. We don't have time to talk about this. I would have shown you the video of Israel. There's a promotional video of Israel. Most of the Nobel Prizes were won by Christians. Most Nobel Prizes were won by Christians. Some of the scientific discoveries were won by them. When you have access to God, you begin to receive revelation. You begin to see things that people don't see. I told them last night, I said, the eyes that look is very common. The eyes that look is very common.
but the eyes that see is rare. How many of you have been to Glendale here? You sure? You really sure you've been to Glendale? I want to test you. Those who have been to Glendale, can you raise your hand up, please? It's all fun. This is fun. What is the color of the inner church of Glendale? The color. I can't hear your voice. See how we're doing? Because we have eyes that look, but we don't have eyes that see. I worship there almost every day. On Monday, I'm there for intercessory. On Tuesday, I'm there for pastor's meeting. On Wednesday, I'm there for Bible study. On Thursday, we do it online. On Friday, tarry night, I'm almost there. If you ask me, I will fail some of these things because I have eyes that just look. I don't see. I want you to pray for eyes that see. But you can't see except you're in his presence. Because in his presence there's fullness of joy, and at his right hand there are pleasures evermore. And not only that, it was, is it Gehazi or one of the servants of the prophet? He was saying, man, there are so many people against us. And the prophet said, Father, open his eyes. When his eyes were open, he said, oh my God, you mean these people are with us? Let's understand this. Since that is English, it's not spiritual. Let's go spiritual and see whether there's a relationship between the two. Luke chapter 12. Let's start from verse 41. Verse 41 to verse 48. You can see they are all the same. They all flow together. Now, I like Peter. Then Peter said unto him, Lord, can you give me New King James Version if you do have it, or NIV? See, this that do is for Pastor Henry and your mean people. Then Peter said to him, Lord, do you speak this parable only to us or to all people? Now let's see what. And the Lord said, who then is a faithful and wise steward? I may not be pronouncing it like an American, so bear with me. My children, will go, when we get home now, they say, you have the Nigerian accent. I'm proud to be one. He said, now mark this. It's showing the criteria for being a good steward. One, the criteria there is being faithful. The next one is being a wise person, having wisdom. So God just revealed them there. But you need a trained eye to know that God is already telling you what it takes to be a steward.
whom his master will make ruler over his house. It's not necessarily the owner. Some of us are head of organizations, but we are not the owner. Over his household, to give them their portion of food in due season. So there's a purpose for stewardship. It is not complete until you execute your responsibility of giving them food in their due season. Is somebody with me? Okay. We can glean from that. Let's go back to the slide. We can glean from that what stewardship is all about. We know that to be a steward, you have to be faithful. Faithful to what? Faithful to the master. Faithful to the master's responsibility. Faithful to the expectation of the master. Faithful to your job description. You have to be faithful. But are we? We're going to look at it. There are five things that God gave you. And one of them, Samson talked about talent yesterday. God gave you talent. Are you faithful in using your talent? Are you ruling over those talents? Or are you allowing sin to rule over them for you? There are five things. The other one is treasure. God has given us money. But what do you do with it? And Samson did it eloquently well. You know, I have to be careful next time. I'm going to ask Holy Spirit not to download it to this man. So that he's be fresh. But he said something very profound yesterday as well. What was it? Some people will have income. They get their salary today. After 2 days, it's gone. And they will go to meet somebody and say, sister, can I borrow money from you? They are not being faithful. They are not being wise. That money is supposed to cover you till the next paycheck. And you are supposed to reserve some for the future of emergency, but they don't. They remind me of a prophet in the Bible. While he was alive, and this is important to know, it can happen to any Christian. Just because you are worshiping God does not mean you cannot be homeless. So this pastor or this prophet in the Bible is in the book of Kings, 2 Kings chapter 3, chapter 4. You know, he just had no more money. He was so broke that they were about to sell the children into slavery. And so that was when the prophet came and said, prophet, hey, my husband used to be one of you. Hey, I don't finish. They are about to send them into slavery. And the prophet said, what do you have in your house? Everywhere you go in the scripture, God always uses what is already deposited in you. What will make you great is already inside of you. It's not outside. It's always a mistake to think, until she gives me 10 million, I'll be great. It's a lie. If I give you 10 million, you waste it. Because you don't have the same grace and the vision of how to use it. Is somebody with me? That's what God told Moses. When God was before the Red Sea, Moses was crying to God, Baba, hey, is this where you are going to let us die? What did God say? He said, what is that in your hand? Everything you need to succeed is already in your hand. Let me ask you a question very quickly. How many of you have seen an apple? Can you raise your hand? You have. How many of you have seen an apple seed? You've seen an apple seed. Now watch this. That seed, what that seed will become, the number of fruit it will bear, how tall it will be, is inside that seed. True or false? We can experiment it. Plant it to the ground. That seed, everything it will become, is inside that seed. And that's it. That's your story. Because when you were conceived in your mother's womb, even before you were conceived, the Lord knew you. And he set you apart as a seed to bring him glory. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. I will rush this and move on to the area that... Now, you have to be faithful. You have to be a student of wisdom. You have to be obedient to his will. And you have to learn to serve.
Service is the most powerful weapon. Anybody that comes, no, I want to just sit down. You cannot learn. I'm telling you, the more you serve, the more you grow. If somebody should give you an assignment to come and preach, I can guarantee you you'll be studying. By the time you finish studying and you're standing, you would have learned. So in the process of serving, you are growing. But serving requires you to subdue urges, to subdue your weaknesses so that you can succeed. It requires to take dominion over your poor spending habit. So, I mean, you can apply this in many dimensions. But one of the principles of serving is to produce fruits. Outcome is key. You must multiply. You must fill the earth. So I want to stop here and ask you the question. This is the end of the month, right? Right? Monday is what? Now, I'm asking you now to give me, God, let's say God is standing here and ask, give me a report of your first 3 months of this year. How will it be? Because in the stock market, this is the end of the quarter. Friday was the end of the quarter, and you can see a lot of dynamics in the stock market. People were reshuffling portfolios. But point I'm making to you is that if God should ask you, what is your quarterly report? What would be your quarterly report? Given that at the beginning of the year, many of you made some resolutions. Thank you, sir. Many of you made some resolution, right? How many of you are 25% complete? I mean, I'm dividing the year into four. So the first quarter, 25%. The second quarter, 25%. The third quarter, 25%. The last quarter, 25%. So how many of us, given your plan for this year, is 25% complete? All right. Father, help all of us. I won't be able to talk about this. I'm going to go to chapter 6. All right? Because I know that's where most of us want to really, really get. But what I have done is to lay out the principle of God's economy. It's important. If you know it, you will not be moved. You will not be shaken. You will enter into places with boldness. So let's go to chapter 6. Actually, this is, you remember this guy? Evander Holyfield? The boxer that brought down Mike Tyson? The man that when he goes in, he put on the scripture? He was rich. Rich. But became extremely poor at a point in time. Iverson is almost finished completely. He's coming back now. You know, so you can name many of them. So having money is not the issue. Managing it is the key. You can have all the money in the world. People can give you all the money in the world. If you don't know how to manage it, it's a question of time. You're going down. Praise God. Those were the houses, and they were foreclosed, and it was really bad for a point in time. Yes, my dear. Say, carry on, Pastor. Okay, we're almost there. I hope I'm going. It's okay. We're almost there. I'm almost there. Yes. Bear with me. You know, I'm an old man. Okay. Okay. What page is this? Okay. Okay, this is it. Now, I want to focus here. I want to introduce you. This is the key. I mean, there are three stages in finance. Only three. The first desire is to build wealth. That can take you a week to teach. You must learn how to build wealth. The second piece is to protect the wealth for your family, to protect your assets. When you build the wealth, you want to protect it. The third is to make sure that the wealth you build is
more than what you sow. So you must learn to sow. You must learn to sow. And the law of tithing, by the grace of God, I may decide, I don't know what God wants me to share tomorrow, I may share the law of giving. Giving activates your blessing. It's a financial principle. And I want to tell you what tithing does. It's the law of God. You are not giving the money to the pastor. No. You are actually giving it to yourself. And I will tell you stories. There's a season in my life I wasn't tithing. Not because of this new age stuff. I just thought the money was not enough for me at that time of my life. Until I met a young man. I was doing this young man taxes. I was doing the taxes. And as I was doing the taxes, I saw that this young man paid more tithe than I did. And the Holy Spirit said, you see, I think I was an elder then, or I was about to be an elder. And the Holy Spirit said, you see this young man? He's paying tithe more than you do. Shame on you. I felt convicted in my spirit. But before then, I used to have this Toyota Celica. The moment I know it's two door. I wasn't married. Yeah, I wasn't even married then. So I like to just pose and go around and all those stuff. The moment I get my salary, I tell you, I did an analysis of it. The portion that I supposed to use for tithing, the devourer will go to the car for fixing it. I always find myself fixing my car with about exactly the amount that I'm supposed to use to tithe. I studied it. I take an analytical approach to the things of the kingdom so that I can understand it. I just don't take it the way it is. I want to understand it so that I can keep it in my heart. And that was the pattern in my life. Until I said, it's not going to happen again. I started tithing. And I stand before you and before God. My cars don't break down. I don't even drive old cars anymore. Because I began to understand the principle. I said, this is what it means. I thought I was smart. Using my senses instead of just have access to God. Access to understanding him. Remember when I said access? When you access God, he begins to reveal how to live. Access. Access is also, my boss was retiring. The boss was retiring. He was retiring at work. I used my life as a testimony and to his glory. My boss was retiring. White guy. He said, look, I have a land. I want to sell it. You want to have a land to sell? I told him, I'm going to buy. I have no money. I took my wife. My kids were very young. I took my mother-in-law. I said, I'm going to stand upon the word of God. Come with me. We went to the land. I said, step your feet on it. Where I'm talking about is about almost 2 hours from my house. It wasn't that a small journey. I took them in the van. I said, let's go. I want everybody to step their feet on it. They stepped their feet and we left. My boss could not find somebody to buy it until I paid it. I bought the land about 190 and it went to 400,000. You must understand the principle of God. You must understand this principle. It's not theory. Walk in it. You will see it happen. Okay, let's move on. Let's move on very quickly. I'm rushing, but just bear with me. So, the step in financial planning process, it might be too small there. I hope you can see it a little bit better here. Yeah, I'm glad this is only for me. Determine where you are financially. It doesn't matter where you are right now. Don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged how bad the situation is right now. The good news is that if you know where you are, it is easy to move from there to the next place. You need to set goals. Goals are very important. And goals, by setting goals, you can use it, your goals, to build your budget. You know, you can take the goal and convert them into budget. Because everything in your budget is an attempt to achieve your goal. You must evaluate your goal constantly. I'm a person who is goal-driven. Without goal, life is boring. I must have something in front of me. If I don't have something in front of me, I will be restless. I must always set a goal. And if you don't set goals like that, life will pass you by. You must reallocate your resources. You must know what resources. You must have an action plan. You must prioritize your plan. You must take action. You must measure your performance. That's why I ask you. This is the first quarter of the year. How many of us are we 25% ready, complete about the plan we have this year? You know, in finance, asset is what is yours. Liability is what you owe to other people. If what I have is more than what I owe to other people, it's bigger, we call it net asset. That means the more you grow your wealth, in order to grow your wealth, what you have, if I have 100,000, I owe people 10,000, I have 90,000. The goal is to grow that 90,000 year in, year out, month and month. Praise the Lord. And you need to have your... How many of you prepare your balance sheet? How many of you sit down and just say, let me know how much and what? I've been preparing our network in my family for almost 20 years. Not more than 20 years. I will sit down and say, this year, this is our network. When I go back and look at it, I say, oh my God, is this where we started? You need to start it. It doesn't matter how bad it looks. But these days you have the cloud. Save it in the cloud. 2019, $10 was my net worth. Yeah, let them laugh. But guess what? They have not seen what God is planning for you 2 years from now. 2 years from now, that $10 become $150,000. Before you know $2 million. Before you know $5 million. That's it. But when you see it on paper, how you have been progressing, it builds your confidence in God. And you can walk like the son and daughter of a king. It doesn't matter what people say, because you have tested God. You have seen how he's working. So fear, put fear in you, you won't feel it. Because you have tested God. Praise the Lord. All right, I want to move into something that I think you probably will like. I hope I'm right. Okay. This is the stages of building wealth. Because right now, I think the area where I think we're lacking, if you are in an employment situation, can I be honest with you? If you're just an employment, you're just an employee, you are not destined to be rich. I'm not cursing you. There's no... You are working for somebody else. Let me give you an example. And don't take that as an offense. I'm not cursing anyone. If you have a house, somebody is living in that house and paying you rent, you are doing nothing. You are receiving money. They call it other people's money. Somebody is living in my house. Pay me $1,500. I owe the bank $700. Every month, I have $800 coming from a tenant. I do nothing. It goes into my account. There's nothing I'm doing. I just bought a house. I have good credit. I was able to buy the house. And then put a tenant there. Before you put a tenant, you want to put the right tenant because they can give you problem. That's why what the Lord said, faithful and wise. You must be wise. It's not just putting any kind of person. There are rules. There are things you must do. And if you cannot buy a house yourself, pull resources together. I was telling my kids, by the way, my hair was cut by them today. My kids cut my hair. They are not business people. I would have charged them if they were to want to cut my hair. So they did it free. So I didn't ask them. They didn't say, Dad, let's negotiate the price. Because if I had gone to the salon, $20-something would have gone out of my pocket. So I, instead of paying that money, I just said, hey, boys, come and cut my hair. They were hey, the deal is done. You can't go home now. Ask me again. Hey, okay. They are my witness, so we have already executed the contract. It's been completed. You've done your part. I've done my part. That's it. But it's nice doing business with you guys. It's the stages of wealth. You must learn to save and invest. You must budget to save. It's not enough to just budget how you were going to spend the whole money. I always recommend, depending on how old you are, if you are like me, who is almost a senior citizen or a senior citizen, because if I say I'm a senior citizen now, some people will just frown, but I'm a senior citizen. You know, at least I have the mic for this moment. You know, if at my age, I'm getting close to retirement. If I'm about to start saving at this point, I should be saving close to 90% of my income. Because I'm doing it at a late stage in my life. But if you are 20, you still have a lot of time. If you do it right, by the time you reach my age, you may have about 2 or 3 million to your name. You've got to be focused. So let's see something here very quickly. There are three ways to build wealth. Spiritual involvement, Samson's talked about it, active involvement, and passive involvement. The spiritual involvement, you must learn about God principle of wealth. For example, first fruit honors the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruit of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing. If you believe and trust God, you are faithful in doing this, there is no way your barn will not be overflowing. You must apply spiritual principle to your strategy. Giving. Oh man, giving is very powerful. Prayer is also there. Prayer is a place of agreement, is a place of revelation. Prayer is in the revelation equation of God. Wisdom is in the decision equation of God. If you stop at prayer, you will not get it. It's not going to come home. You need wisdom. Guess what? The earth you see, the universe you see, was built by wisdom. And the Bible tells us in Proverbs 24, verse 3, it says, by wisdom a house is built. Pastor Dr. Henry Okonofa said that yesterday. By wisdom a house is built. It did not say by prayer. I am not reducing the importance of prayer. Prayer gives you revelation. What you do with that revelation is the application of the wisdom of God. 95% of Christians stop in prayer. That's why Samson told us yesterday, he was referring to Peter, is it first or second Peter? He said, what we need for life and godliness. He said, most of us just stop at godliness. We don't look at life. For life, you need wisdom. Wisdom including exercising. You see this stomach? It has to go. It's wisdom. I can lay hands on it. Ask Yomi to lay hands on it. The stomach will not go. Okay, I take that back. God would take and decide to give him, cause a miracle to happen. But see, miracle is what God gives when you are a baby Christian. When you are beginning to grow, all this milk that you want all the time, God wants you to be strong. So he can lay hands on you, begin to say, speak in tongues several times. No, wisdom is required. I should eat less pandan yam. You're laughing as if you don't have your stomach coming. Don't mind them. They think I'm the only one. But please, don't cut my pandan yam. You're not supposed to hear that. Okay, let's move on very quickly. We talked about this. Active involvement. You know, I talk about spiritual involvement. I talk about active involvement. Employment. Self-employment. If you are in an employment, I want to encourage you, don't just leave it, stop at employment. Look for passive involvement in building wealth. But if you are self-employed, you are in the right place. Because people who are self-employed, the potential to grow is greater than an employee. Those of us in the federal government, in fact, again, Donald Trump said he's not going to give us an increase in the next year. You know, so you can see, there are people who can just put a stop there. And do you know how much increase he's fighting against now? 1.something% increase. That's what they do to employees. They decide your fate. No, don't let people decide your financial destiny. Take your financial destiny in your hand. Financial destiny can only be found in self-employment. But if you decide to be like me, and you choose to be in employment, please supplement it with passive involvement. Think of an idea. Something you can get involved. Invest in stock market. Real estate. Manage your debt. You don't have to have debt you don't need. People use their credit card for consumption purpose. No. If you are going to use your credit card, use it for an investment purpose. Use it wisely. Your credit card can make money for you. Yeah. Your credit card can make money, plenty money for you. If you know how to use it well. It's amazing. You must know how to use some of these things well. And then inheritance. My, for God's sake, legacy, build something for your children. Now, this is a question for you guys. Let's look at this very quickly. I'm going to try to rush through this. If I were Bill Gates, which of these two wishes will you rather I grant you? $1 million or a penny that double every day? I'm Bill Gates, and I just come into this place. I was invited by Pastor Dr. Okonofo, and I said, hey, look, I was just led by the Lord. I have two propositions for you. I give you $1 million as you sit down, and it's real. Real. I give you $1 million, or I give you one penny that double every day for the next 30 years. Which one will you take? Yes, sir. No. That's not the assumption. But okay, wait. Let's take his theory. Let's add that theory to it. If that $1 million double, but I'm Bill Gates. I'm telling you what I would double. I would take your one penny. I would double it every day for 30 years. But your $1 million, I'm not going to double it. That's why I'm giving you the lump sum at once. But if you decide to go and trade with it and double it, you're on your own. Which one will you take? Eh? You take a penny. You take $1 million? How many will take $1 million? You fail. Look at the answer. I gave you the answer before I took it away. If that penny doubled, the next day it will be 2 cents. The next day it will be 4 cents. The fourth day will be this. On the 28th day it will be 1.3 million. And on the 45th day, it will be 1 trillion. The wisdom here is to tell you that there is power in compounding. You must learn how to invest money. You must learn how to invest money. You must learn how to invest. But that's why putting your money in a checking account is a waste of money. If you put money because of safety, you put it in the checking account, you're wasting the money. If you didn't put the money in the savings account where the interest is almost 1%, you're wasting your money. Because you are limiting your ability to grow your wealth, to build your wealth. I'm not asking you because I said that tomorrow you go and put it in an investment you do not understand. Before you invest in anything, make sure you understand it. Praise the Lord.
So those who said 1 million, they live by sight. What do you have in the hand? But you got to trust God. You got to just trust God and step out. And that's why most of us refuse to leave our place employment. Because we are making this money. We are just too scared to go out because we don't know what we're going to get. Praise the Lord. Okay. It's almost time, right? Okay. The basic objective of investment, time, is critical. You saw it in that one penny doubling. Then another important tool is diversification. Another important tool is diversification. The vehicle you can use for investment to build your wealth, some of the vehicles, and I think you should take time to study them, learn them, just study them. When I started learning this thing, you know the first book I read? Eh? But there are good books to read, but the book I read to understand the mechanics is Money for Dummies. Finance for Dummies. Because I really wanted to know this thing. Because when I'm reading, and this is funny, when I'm reading, if I cannot explain it in my language, I don't think I know it. I'm a village boy. Because I want to know, I want to really know that I know this thing. No, seriously, because that's why if I close the book, I you know what the fruit of the Spirit is? Who knows the meaning of the fruit of the Spirit? The fruit of the Spirit, I want you to get this image. There's a tree that grew. That tree, sun beat it, rain, everything. It produced the fruit. The fruit, you don't see the rain in the fruit. You don't see the beating in the fruit. You don't see the storm in the fruit. Everything is inside. It made the fruit strong. When you read, it should transform you. When you are walking the word. You are walking the thing you've learned. Because you won't be able to be picking, okay, this is the word. This is the Lord. It's already an integral part of you. That's what they mean by the fruit of the Spirit. When you have the Spirit of God, the fruit that come out, it will be evident. Praise God. The vehicle you use, there are short-term investment vehicles that are long-term, that are mid-term. You know, treasury bills. If you want to invest in some of these things, you have to understand how they work. People are already predicting based on the principle of science, given the way the economy is moving, that we are going to experience some of the worst time in the next 1 or 2 years. The stock market is likely to crash deeply. Morgan Stanley came out this last week. He's asking people to prepare. You know, and when this happens, companies are going to retrench. People are going to lose jobs, and many things are going to happen in the economy because people are beginning to see the signs in the horizon. There is a storm coming, and it's a huge storm coming. So what am I saying? You need to understand how these investment tools work and be able to work with them and arrange them to work in your favor. You know, the long-term tools are there. The short-term tools are there. The short-term tools are not very good right now because the interest rate is very low. And you guys are very too young. Short-term the risk is very low. You know, but you don't make a lot of money. But long-term, you make a lot of money. But it also has a lot of risk. You can also lose as well. Praise the Lord. Protect your family asset. I talked about that a little bit a few minutes ago, right? I don't want to spend some time on it again. You need to protect your money. One of the ways to protect your family, protect them spiritually. When you tithe, when you give, you are protecting your family. Somebody went for an interview. He went for an interview, and when he got to the final stage of the interview, the people went to interview and say, "Are you related to this man?" He said, "I'm the son." He said, "Oh my God, it was this man that helped me." That was the end of it. Because what the father did many, many years ago became a blessing to the son. He said, "I've been trying to reach this man to thank him." You understand what I'm saying? So you can protect your family by the way you respond to the spiritual things of God, by the way you respond to tithe, by the way you respond to offering. But you can also protect them by having a life insurance policy. Are you with me? How many of you have life insurance policy? How many of you have how many of you have burial policy? But seriously, why are we? What can I ask you? Why are Christians afraid to die if we are going to go to heaven? I don't understand. Why is it that Christians are the most scared people to die? If the moment they hear, say, oh, there's a program, they say, somebody's going to die, I say, we should come and pray. This place will be full. Hey, cast a rap. Wait, is it, are we not going to heaven? No, seriously, are we not going to heaven? Why are we afraid to die? What did Paul say about to be with the Lord? So why are we so afraid to die when the sting of death has been taken away? All right, you need to have life insurance policy. You need to have, how many of you know Pastor Samuels Koya from Upper Marlboro? I'm mentioning his name because he has a cousin, a very young person, young man. The first time I actually, thank you. See, God is good. That's my helpmate. The wife's brother, they just got married not too long. And I think they were coming back from party. He had an accident. The man died. The wife was devastated. But that was how many years ago now? Long time ago now. But guess what happened? Thank God. The man had a life insurance policy. Not too long ago, they just bought a new house. So they were able to use the life insurance policy to pay for the house. And the children were just little baby. They were very young then. It was a very painful period. But because of the wisdom of God to think ahead, he was able to secure the future for them. At least, lessen the pain. Health insurance is important. I know some of us are, you know, God can heal also. No, I'm not trivializing that. But don't choose how God is going to heal you. Let it just go in his grace. If he decides to heal you supernaturally, wonderful, is better. But if he decides to give you the means to go and see a doctor, remember, Jeremiah told us physicians are part of God. Is there no physician in the land? How come the daughters of God don't have their healing? So healing, the physicians, is part of the program of God. So I want you to have health insurance. I want you to have disability insurance. Auto insurance. Some people will just say, you know what, I don't need an auto insurance. You need it too. I have a house in Baltimore. And my tenant burned down my house completely. It's okay. It's one of those things. And I had an insurance. I think insurance pay, I can't remember how much insurance pay, maybe $200,000 or $150,000. And I found somebody to fix the house. I was supposed to give it to some of these big contractors to fix it, and they were going to charge me a lot. I looked for somebody my own. You know, I'm a village boy. I made profit from it as well. The money the insurance gave me was more than what the local people could help me to build the house back. But if I didn't have the insurance, you can imagine how much pain I would have been. But these are realities of life. There are four things in life you must know. Life is a battle. You must be strong and courageous. It's inevitable. You must face challenges. It's part of it. But learn from it. Praise the Lord. All right, my time is up. Protect your family. Learn to manage risk. That includes when you are cooking the stove. When your wife has gone, you go and check it back. When the children have gone, go and check it back. Because when that thing goes on fire, you are the one to cough up the money. When they are going to church,
Just say, ah, let me check. If they are going to charge you $100, take your corner, eye look, and see, make sure the garage is closed down. No, because it's part of your protection. It's simple wisdom. But it will save you a lot of headache, a lot of midnight prayer. Yes, Lord, please, I need money to correct this problem. Praise the Lord. All right, let me just close. You must provide life insurance. You know, there are two types of insurance. One that protects, one that provides. Life insurance provides when somebody dies, it provides. Protection is also like when somebody's had a car accident. If you don't have any insurance, your life, the insurance can kick in. You know, even house insurance, where one of our sisters in church, their house got burnt, and guess what? They put them in the hotel. They could not have be able to afford that hotel on their own. So these things are very important. They are just wisdom of God. Praise the Lord. Let me take questions. I know my time is up. We didn't talk about budget. We didn't talk about those mechanics. But you asked for stewardship. Stewardship is about responsibility. God has blessed you with so many things that you want to be responsible for. What I have done this evening is to explain to you where you are, you're standing before God. You're standing. And the need to walk in access. He said, in the last days, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. But you have to be in his presence to receive it. And when you receive access, he begins to show you things he's about to do. You know, and most of us, especially our wives and mothers, when they want to decorate their house, they have seen the vision in their eye, in their mind's eye. That house you see, the way they put all those things, they conceive it in the mind. They saw everything in the mind before you saw it on the floor. Don't just do it in decorating your home. Do it in bringing business down from heaven. Because the same source where you got the idea to decorate your home, there is a store in heaven. You know, you went to heaven. You went to the store in heaven and you brought the idea to decorate your house. That same heaven, there is a store in heaven where you can go and bring down things that will prosper you and many generations to come. Any question?
And I want to be sure that I will not be under any attack, because you have spoken so eloquently, and she will be asking me, don't use your birthday. So let me ask you, sir. I am sure that all that you have spoken of are 80%. What I'm trying to say is that you have not covered everything. You are, God bless you. Oh, thank you. You are a prophet to the nation. You are a prophet to the what? To the nations. God bless you.
I was speaking in tongues. Pastor Henry and I have come a long way. We went to the same high school. We went to the same university. And we did our youth service in the same place. And God has just been, you know, for some years ago. I don't like to give you the number so that you know how old I am. Any question, please? Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. You mentioned that the stock market is kind of looking like it's going to crash. So where would you advise that we kind of look to invest if we're looking at more long-term, like you suggested, like we need time? Praise God.
That's a brilliant, brilliant question. Even though the stock market is crashing, going to crash, I want you to go in there and invest, but I want you to do it with wisdom. To invest in the stock market, you must understand two rules. There are two schools of thought in the stock market. There's the school of the fundamentalist, and there's another school called the technical analysis. The fundamentalists are people who look at the financial statement, they study it, and able to tell you how the company will behave in the future. For example, If you have a company and you know who the chief executive, how they work hard, and you also know that the product they have, people are buying. You have all those knowledge. You've done your research. And you see that they have a future. Even their market is expanding. That may be a company you want to invest in. The people who go through this analysis, they are called the fundamentalist in the stock market business. But the technical analyst are people who just take the data. You know, I look at, let me just take Apple, for example. Let's stay with Apple. I will do Apple using the fundamental school and use the technical school. If I take Apple and map the data for 10 years, and it's easy to find, they are free online. In fact, let me show you something. Oh, okay. Let me just... This is free. If you just go, let's say I don't know what Apple, the name Apple is a product. You have to know the name of the company. But knowing the name of the company, that may not be the name at which that company is trading in the stock market. So if you don't know the name is trading, just say Apple. Oh, sorry. So it gives you different options. You see that the first one here is the Apple company you want to study. You just click Apple. The price of Apple, as it traded on Friday, is $189.95. Eh? It's not showing? Oh, sorry. Can you show? I'm on the web. Is it possible to show? Yeah, please. Sorry there. Well, if it's not sure, let's just... Can it show? It can show. Sorry. Okay. All right. What I was trying to do is I went online and I wanted to show you the data that is available. What I'm saying is that if you know the company very well, you can project how it's going to behave. We're trying to do something in Glendale. I'm trying to set up an investment club for young people. And you can do that here. Investment club is where all of you, people who are really interested to learn, you can come up together. It teaches you leadership. It teaches you administration. It teaches you how to invest. You know, there are books. You just, about 10, 20 people can come together, and you open an account, and you make decision how to sell and how to buy. And in the process, before you know it, 5 years' time, life is good. Yeah, but you can buy now, but you have to buy with wisdom. Apple have lost a lot of money recently. You know, and they'll be having competition. So you can buy when it's coming down. Any other question? My time is gone. Yes, ma'am. Oh, yes. All right. Okay.
Yes, you talked about an idea, like coming up with an idea. Like, I'm talking of other involvements, other passive involvements. So in a case where you have an idea and you need to build on that idea, what are the strategies you take, one? And also, like, of course, building an idea will involve capital, will involve, you know, putting in money. You know, how do you go about that? You know, I've always thought this.
Focus. Don't worry about my baby. Idea. It's fine.
Inheritance. But, yeah, you also talk. So I've always thought of this. You know, when you put money into an idea, you know, and you start making money out of it, and you're in a world, of course, we're in a world where technology keeps evolving, you know, you want to upgrade that idea. What's the balance between upgrading and putting more money into building that idea and making your profit out of it?
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Okay, it does. First thing, the problem why ideas don't make it is not because there's no money. There's too much money. If you have a good idea, money will find you. This country especially. Bring the idea on the table. There are venture capitalists. They will grab you immediately. They have so much money, surplus money, looking for good ideas. Now, if you have an idea, you have to go through a lot of stages to make sure your idea is commercially viable. I always tell people to develop a business plan. In the process of developing a business plan, it provokes you to think through the process. It makes you look at the market and see whether there's actually a market for it. You do a market study, a market research, and you look at what it requires, and you will draw a cash flow analysis for 5 years. A lot of things you will just do. By the time you consume with all those things, you will know whether that idea is viable for now. If it is viable, I will ask you to copyright your idea. Go to the patent office, copyright your idea. If you really have the idea very clearly defined, talk to me. We'll find the money for it. Money is the easiest thing to find. Because there are people who, look at some of Lyft. Lyft, for example, how did Lyft get money? How did Uber get money? Their ideas. People's idea. Don't always let money be the issue. Money is always looking for ideas. When you have an idea that is ordained, the whole universe will conspire to make it work. That's what I have found. Because Silicon Valley is a breeding ground of ideas. And they've never lacked money. People begin to pour into it. Yes, ma'am. Okay. You have two questions. Did I answer the second part?
Yeah, I think you covered it. But in a case where also your idea is competitive, how do you, if that makes sense, like you have an idea, but it's kind of still within, like maybe one or two other people have
the same similar ideas.
Established ideas, actually. Okay. Like, how do you go about still standing out?
We can't talk about it in detail here, but I will ask you to look at Intel and AMD, micro device. Intel produce chips that you find on the computer. AMD also produce the same chip, but they are competing in the market space. But you have to know what your competitors have, and you want to know what you need to do better than them. They may have the lead. There was a time Microsoft had the lead. And before you know it, Apple came in, zoom. And you know, when Apple came in with their desktop, it was when they told Windows, come on, change it. They said, no. They were feeling big. Then they changed it, and guess what? The way you now log into your window, they copy from Apple. I guess their grandfather, their baba, who used to be so powerful, he lost his crown, IBM. IBM was there before any of them, but IBM lost the crown. And guess what? All these other players, they are almost, some of them are losing it. The new kids on the block, Amazon, Google, Alibaba, some of those kids that just come in, they are just doing great stuff. But if you have an idea, just know, you know, the Bible tells us something that we need to apply. He says, if you go to a strong man's house, what do? The process of binding is knowing the strength. Your ignorance is the strength of your enemy. You must understand his strategy, and bingo. Poof. All right, if no more questions, let us pray. Can somebody give me Daniel chapter 1, verse 8? And I want this to be personal. And after this, I'll call on the pastor to just... Can somebody read it very quick? Daniel chapter 1. Oh, thank you. Daniel purposed in his heart. Everything we've done tonight anchors on the word, I want to have a purpose-driven life. You must anchor and say, look, I purpose. Look, I stand before you as a boy from a little village. Very little village. Some of you have never heard of it. It's called Irekme. Many people thought I would not amount to something. But you must purpose. You have the key in your hand. Everything you need to become great. You are the seed of God. Remember that apple seed. But the difference I have always seen in the kingdom is people don't purpose. You see, Daniel, you know where Daniel was? He left his country, like most of you have left your country to come to Babylon. You've left your country. It was tough for Daniel. But when he got to Babylon, he said, look, I am going to be different. I am going to draw a line in the sand. I said, this is who I want to be. It doesn't matter what A says, what B says. Look, this is who I want to be. I want you to make a decision tonight. And it's important to make it tonight because you just finished the first quarter of the year. You're about to start a new quarter on Monday. Let it not be April Fool. Let it be that you indeed have purpose tonight that is going to be different going forward. The way I look at money is going to be different. The way I approach things in my life is going to be different. I choose to be different. I purpose tonight to be different. Make a covenant with God. Let us pray. And as we are doing that, let the pastor come and round us up.
Please pray, please pray. Purpose in your heart. Tell God what you want to do. Tell God what you want to do. Tell God how he should help you. Tell him that you are weak, but he is strong, that he is able to lead you out of the woods in the name of Jesus Christ. You are currently in the woods. These ideas you have heard, they have not been brought to fruition, but we want them, God himself, to make them manifest in your life. So that you can be an instrument, even an instrument to teach these same principles. In Jesus' name we pray. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The ideas by my brother, that's why I said, Pastor, you have said so many, many, many things. They are very wonderful and they are great. I know you have done so many, many things in life. But these are still ideas. You get what I'm saying? Not all of them are 100%. None of them are 50. Some of them are 100. Some of them are 80. And so we come before God this day to say, Lord, we lay them at your feet. We lay these things at your feet. Some people don't have $100 in their account. Some people don't have 1,000. Some people don't have 10,000. And so we are burdened. Like Sam was saying it yesterday night. When he gave an example of a friend that after he was paid, the next day he's asking for, can you give me $20 there? Can you give me $40 there? I'll give you next time. He said, no, that is not it. Those are the things that you need to bring to God today. Lord, why is my bank always empty? He said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. These principles our brother has spoken about, Lord, let me profit by them. And something, as Pastor was saying, said, riches is spiritual. It's a spiritual thing. Just like you are able to have faith, getting wet is a spiritual matter. Once you get it, God will always come fought for you. Just like when you have the ability to pray, the gift of prayer and healing, you pray for somebody, that person becomes well almost all the time. So it is with wealth. It's a spiritual issue that we need to settle with God today. Lord, let's pray. Lord, we bring our finances before you. Our finances of the young one, of the old one, we bring it before you. We're asking of glory that you will take it over in the name of Jesus Christ. We are asking that the ideas to make wealth that you will give to us in the name of Jesus Christ. We are asking from the smallest to the oldest. This week is about dominion over our financial poverty. We claim that we receive dominion over our finances in the name of Jesus Christ. That none of us will come out after this week, come out poor again in Jesus' name. Just like some of your children boast that I would never be poor again, I would declare and decree in this assembly, in this congregation, that we would never be poor again in the name of Jesus Christ. If we are, then we have not learned anything. Then your son has spoken in vain. Father, we are asking that you will help us to do this in Jesus' name. Lord, we bless and we worship you. We'll give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray. One more prayer. Everything he has spoken to requires what? Effort. Is it not true? He said it. Everything he said it requires what? Effort. It is not just an ordinary rambadase niriya and it's done. No. Everything, even to make your muscles buff, it requires effort. So, and he said the first book he bought was what? Finances for the Dummies. Because he needed to learn something. Lord, for Peter to walk on the water, what did he do? He stepped out of the boat. Is it not true? For Jesus to heal that blind person, he will always touch them. At the point, he took sand from the ground and put it in their eyes. So it requires effort. If you have come here today and you have heard this man of God speak and you want to step out of the boat of financial poverty, then you what? Do something about it. Do what? Something about it. So let us pray for God to guide us as a shepherd so that we can graze on the rich pastures. Let us pray. Let us pray. We don't want to go to the dry land. We don't want to have ideas that meet dead ends. We don't want to invest on stocks that will die tomorrow. I have some stocks in my portfolio, and I see them disintegrate from one, from $15. They are going to zero. I say, this one is going to zero. It's on my watch list. Lord, we don't want to invest in such stocks in the name of Jesus Christ. We don't want to have ideas or bonds that fail. We don't want to do things that will not bring fruits. In the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, we bless and we worship you. Our effort shall be rewarded. Thank you, mighty and everlasting God. Blessed be your name. For in Jesus' name we pray. Quickly, before our pastor say the final prayers, let's collect our offerings. Oh, glory, glory, glory to the Lord. Oh, glory, glory, glory to the Lord. Hosanna, 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 blessed be the name of the Lord God. Hosanna, 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 blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, glory. Oh, glory, glory, glory to the Lord. Oh, glory, glory, glory to the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hosanna. Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed be the name of the Lord. Pastor.
Amen. Father, we thank you for this offering. Receive this as a token of our love and appreciation to what you are doing in our midst. Thank you for your church in Baltimore. Thank you, Lord, that they taught it to host a financial seminar in the first quarter of the year. I pray, oh Lord, that you will bless this church and its member with the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth. In the name of God the Father, in the name of God the Son, in the name of God the Holy Spirit. And so unto him who is able to keep you from falling, to him I commit you. The Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance and give you peace. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you.